to the Pharisees. If you look in chapter 9 in the 40th verse, we find that the Pharisees were having a dialogue with Jesus as they always did. They seemed to follow him from pillar to post, as we might say, seeking to trip him up and find fault with what he was saying. And Jesus is now saying to them, as he speaks of who he is and his purpose for coming, in the 10th verse he says of John 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, I love those words. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Then I want you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesians, is writing to them the outline of a Christian life, of a Christian living, of a Christian unity. As a matter of fact, it has been said that there is no book in all the Bible that gives us such a panorama of God's redemptive purpose as we find in the book of Ephesians. And I believe that with all my heart. I've read it several times, and I trust that you have. And I think it's a book that we as believers should read at least once a month. We should read it once a month. It's a fantastic book, and I trust that you might take the time sometime and read through the book. In chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul, after writing to the Ephesian church, admonishing them and reminding them of the unities of the Spirit, the ways of the believer, in the 18th verse, he adds to what we've just finished reading, what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. He's talking here of the abundant life being a Spirit-filled life. The abundant life being a Spirit-filled life. In other words, he's reminding us that we do have life. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we received that life that Jesus was talking about when we accepted him as our Savior. But do we have the abundant life? Are we living the abundant life? And that is what he is reminding us of here in these portions of Scripture in chapter 5. He starts with verse 18 and he says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And there's some things that he reminds us of that take place in our lives as we become filled with the Spirit of God every day. Not just once, but every day. He says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I'm sure that the Lord will have his blessing to the reading of his word. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisee, "I am come that they might have life." He was speaking of the human race. He was speaking of mankind, not only of his day, but of you and I who live today. But he didn't stop with the fact that he's come for us to have life, but he wants us to have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Now, he's not talking about the natural, normal life that we live? Not at all. We live in an age today, the life that we live and the lives that we see others live, they love to have a life of ease, a life of plenty, a life of pleasure, a life of freedom. But not many want this life. Not many want the spiritual life, the real life. You might be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you might say, "Well, I have life." And yes, you do. We do have life. You're breathing soul, you're alive, you have life, but you don't have the spiritual life in you that is most important. That is the important part that man should be concerned about. The spiritual life, the real life. And the only way that men can find this real life is to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and friend. We don't know what real life is. I'm sure that all of us that have been in the world, we've had our moments. We've had our fun. We've had our good times. And we've said, man, this is living. This is life. But life without Jesus Christ is no life at all. It is only when we accept Him and acknowledge Him as our personal Savior that we have life, real life, true life, and we can enjoy it. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, that you might enjoy this life that I can give you. And the question tonight is, are we enjoying our Christian life? Are we enjoying our spiritual life? Are we enjoying the joys of the Lord? Are we enjoying the presence of the Lord in our hearts and our lives each day that we live? Unfortunately, there are many believers that aren't. There are many believers that aren't. There are many believers that are just happy to go along with the flow in life and never really experience the fullness of the joy of Jesus Christ in their hearts and lives. And it's sad, because it is there. It is there for every one of us to enjoy the fullness of God, the blessings of God, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is this so? It is because we allow so many obstructions to come in our lives as believers. So many things we heard on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour. How that the devil is out there, and we need to learn about him. We need to know where he is, what he's up to, what he's trying to do. And we suggested then, as I will suggest now, that he is there to destroy our lives. He is there to take the joy out of our lives. Yes, my friends, there is joy in serving the Lord. I wouldn't tell you if I hadn't experienced it myself. There is joy in serving the Lord, but we can lose that joy. The psalmist David reminds us of this. We know very well what happened in his life. But yet he came to a point in his life where he recognized that he had lost the joy that he once enjoyed, that fellowship with the Lord. And he comes back to him and he says, O God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. So there is joy in serving the Lord. And so, therefore, what we need is, as the Apostle Paul writes here to the Ephesians, we need to live a Spirit-filled life. We need to live a life that results in a closer walk with God every day. And I would suggest to you this evening, and you know as well as I do, we live in the same world. We see the same things that are happening around us every day. If ever there was a day and a time that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, need to live close to God, is this day and hour in which we live. We need to live close to God. We need to walk by His side. We dare not walk alone. We dare not walk alone. We dare not try to live our Christian life in our own strength. We dare not live our Christian life because of what we know. We need to live our Christian life because of who we know and have His presence and power living within our hearts and lives each day. Paul in chapter 5 gives instructions to believers for a closer walk with the Lord. And I don't have time to go through all of them, but I will just give you a few verses and where and what he is saying in chapter 5 and verse 2. He says that we must walk in love. We must walk in love. We must learn to love our fellow man. We must learn to love our brothers and sisters. We must learn to love those around us. We must let the love of God shine forth from our hearts and lives. The scripture says, how can we love God if we don't love our fellow men? Those that we see, those that we associate with every day. This is a part of having the joy of the Lord in our hearts and lives. We express the love of God. We let the world see that we care, that we love, and we're concerned about them. He also says in verse 8, walk as children of light. We must walk as children of light. For every believer of God, we are a light. Jesus Himself said, ye are the light of the world. You shine forth in a dark world. It is you and I today, my friends, who carry the torch for Jesus Christ. And we have to carry it wherever we go. The Scripture says, do not hide it under a bushel. We sing that little chorus sometimes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No! And oh, would to God that that was the testimony of all of His people today, that we would let our lights shine for Jesus Christ. Let our lights shine. The world is watching, and they will see nothing if our lights are extinguished. They will see nothing in us if our lights aren't shining. We know how important it is to have a light as we go into a dark room or we're traveling somewhere. We need a light. That light helps us to find the way where we're going. And Jesus is the light, and the light of His glory has shined into our hearts and lives. We've accepted Him. We've professed Him as our Lord and Savior. We have become His light. We have become His torch, and we dare not let it go out. We need to keep it shining. Satan will seek to extinguish it. He will do his utmost, and he's doing a good job. He's doing an excellent job. And we need to be wary of this. Keep your light shining. Walk in the light of Jesus Christ. He says, verse 15, walk very cautiously, not as fools, but as wise. Walk cautiously. We need, as believers in Jesus Christ, to walk cautiously. We need to watch our footsteps. We need to watch our talk. We need to be careful about everything that we do and that we say. The world is watching. And most of all, if the world isn't watching, Jesus Christ is. He's watching. And He's the one that's keeping the record on your life and mine, the way that we live. So now the Apostle Paul puts it all together. And we'd say, put it in a nutshell. In verse 18, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, my friends, it dwells in the heart and life of every believer. He comes in, as the Scripture says, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Comforter comes into our hearts and life. The Holy Spirit is there. He is our conscience. He is our guide. He is our teacher. And we should desire every day of our lives. Our prayer should be when we begin our morning, Lord, give me more of Your Spirit today. May Your Spirit be my teacher. May Your Spirit be my guide. May He direct me through my life. May He always be there. He's there. Whether we realize it or not, the Holy Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Godhead, is living in my heart and my life, in your heart and your life, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's why we need to be mindful of this. The Apostle Paul writes in Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? We need to remember that. We as believers in Jesus Christ are carrying a part of the Godhead with us wherever we go. Let's lift it high. Let's lift that standard high. Let's lift that banner high. Let's let our light shine and shine for Jesus Christ. But the one question that we need to remind ourselves, and the one question I ask tonight is, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. There is no doubt about it. He is there. He came up and took residentship in our hearts and lives. But the question is this, we have Him, but does He have you and I? Does He have you and I? Is He in control of our hearts and our lives? Is He filling us daily with the essentials that we need to live not just a life for Jesus Christ, not just something that we might be happy with for a little bit and then become disillusioned and fall away, but He is He filling us where we are happy and we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts every day, every hour, everywhere that we go? That's abundant life, my friends. That is abundant life in Jesus Christ. And we'll never find that in the things of life. We'll never find that in the circumstances of life. We will only find that through a daily infilling. Every day, a daily infilling of the Spirit of God in our hearts, in our lives. We need to be filled each day. We need to be empowered as we read through these verses of Scripture. We need to be empowered by the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be controlled by the Spirit. And that way we can have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and lives. Paul gives us evidence of this in verse 19. Paul says, there is an inward joy. An inward joy. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And I want to tell you, he's not talking about joy that works like a thermostat. Goes up and down when it's hot and when it's cold. That it changes from one moment to the other. But he's talking about real joy. Joy that you and I can have from a deep personal experience with Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, from a deep commitment that we've made to Him, and from a life that we want to live for Him. And we can do this in spite of the atmosphere. In spite of the atmosphere around us. There is an old lady that comes to our chapel in Marsh Harbor. She's very faithful. And every time, I love to shake her hand. Every time I walk up to her and I say, Sister, how are you doing today? The first thing she says to me is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. She doesn't say, I'm not well, or this is wrong, or nothing else. She says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Would to God that we could all say that and do that. Under whatever circumstances might be, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If we could only say that, then we know that we are indeed living the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and I to live. You said, well, can we be joyous in the midst of situations that happen in our lives? Yes, we can. We can be joyous in the midst of pain. We can be joyous in the midst of suffering. I have seen people that have, and I know that you have too, in the midst of their sufferings, in the midst of their pain. As you go and you talk to them, they cheer your heart up. They lift you up. Why? Because they have the joy of the Lord as their strength. The joy of the Lord. It gives strength. Believe me, from my personal experience in life, and like Brother Roddy said tonight, he's known us for 40 years. In the last 27 years, I would say, my wife and I has gone through some tremendous times. Some tremendous times in life. We've gone through sicknesses. We've gone through death. We've gone through the loss of our daughter and son-in-law. And it's just one thing after the other, year after year after year. And she and I could have crawled away somewhere in a corner, threw up our hands in despair and said, God, that's it. We're finished. There's nothing to serve in you. There's no joy in serving you. But thank God, He gave us the courage to go on. And through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus. We've learned to trust in God. And we've found the joy of the Lord. And as I stand there before you tonight, God be my witness, I wouldn't change the joy that I have in my soul for anything the world has to offer. Absolutely nothing. Because I know from my experience in life that the joy of the world cannot satisfy. It cannot satisfy. It might make you happy for a moment, but it won't be long before it's gone. But you can have the joy of the Lord. As Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can do it. The Apostle Paul did this himself. Paul and Silas was locked away in jail. We know the story very well. There they had the first jailhouse rock. We think that Elvis Presley started that. Paul and Silas did. They had the first jailhouse rock. The Scripture says that they were beaten and bleeding. They were tied with chains and they were strapped to the backs of the innermost parts of the prison. And at midnight, what did they do? They didn't grumble and complain. They didn't start yelling to the jailer and cursing at the jailer and finding fault with what God was allowing to happen. The Scripture says that they sang. They sang at midnight. And believe me, that old jailhouse rocked. Their bands were loosened, the doors were opened, and as a result of their singing, the prisoners, they all realized that here was indeed the man of God, the power of God. The jailer came and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The experience of the joy of the Lord, it will bring others to Jesus Christ. They have to see that we have something different. We have to be different. We have to let the world see that there is joy in serving the Lord. That there is peace and happiness in our lives. I heard a preacher say one time, and it stuck with me. He says there are a lot of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at them, it looks like they've swallowed pickle juice. They look so sad and down and unhappy all the time. Oh, friends, we don't have to be like that. Because we have Jesus Christ. We have all that we need. He can supply our every need. The joy of the Lord. That's what we need in our hearts and lives. Paul and Silas sang at midnight. The jailer was rocked and the jailer and his family got saved. And you know something? That's why he could write there and be not drunk with wine. Because you don't need that to make you happy. That will only last for a while. But the happiness that can be found in Jesus Christ and the joy and the peace will last for eternity. Will last for eternity. In verse 20, he goes on to say, we show an upward praise. He says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To do this, we need a daily infilling of the Spirit. In our strength, you and I can never do it. We can never do it. We are weak, but He is strong. He will give us the strength. The Holy Spirit that lives within us will give us the strength. In times of suffering, in times of disappointment, in times of sorrow in our life, we can give thanks to God for everything. That might be difficult, but Paul says we can do it because we have the joy of the Lord. We have the joy of the Lord, and this will keep the devil at bay. This will keep the devil at bay. We will find in our Christian experience in life, if you haven't already found it, and I'm sure that you have, that when things happen in our lives, when we begin to give in and to complain, the devil is present and he's waiting to jump in with something to distract us, to take our minds off Jesus Christ, to take our testimony away from the things of God. He's there. So we got to give thanks. Whether we're happy, there might be tears flowing. There might be pain in our heart. There might be disappointments. But give thanks to God. He's still in charge. He's still in charge. Don't let you and I ever forget it. We need, my friends, to remember this in our hearts and lives. To give thanks, to give praise. Then in verse 21, and I will close, the Apostle Paul says there should be outward submission one to another in the fear of God, submitting yourselves one to another. All of this comes about because of the joy of the Lord living in our hearts and lives. Because we were not satisfied just to have life, but we have it more abundantly. And oh, tonight, my friends, I wonder, do you have that abundant life of Jesus Christ living in you? Do you have that peace and joy that passeth all understanding? Does the world, as they look into you, see a person that knows the Lord, that loves the Lord, that's willing to talk about the Lord, that's not ashamed to say, I'm a Christian and I'm loving God and I want to serve Him? Does the world see that in your life and mine? I hope so. Let me tell you, there's nothing better in this life than to know Jesus Christ and live for Him. Let the world see it, my friends. Let the world see it. They may not show it to you, but let me tell you what I have learned in my Christian experience. You take a stand for Jesus Christ and the world will respect you. The world will respect you. But if you take a stand for Jesus Christ and you live like they live, they'll never respect you. Never respect you. So as believers, you and I, we need to allow the Holy Spirit of a living God to fill our hearts and lives daily. And oh, I pray this evening as I close that our prayer as believers might be each day, Lord, Fill me with Thy Spirit. Fill me daily with what I need to see me through each day, to let my life shine, to let my light shine, to let others see Jesus living in me. I will tell you something, my friends, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Because one day we're going to come to the end of this life. We experienced this yesterday. We saw our dear loved one go out from time into eternity. We're all headed in that direction. And my friends, at the end of the road, if you know Jesus Christ and you've served Him and loved Him and had the joy of the Lord, what can men say about you? Other than he's gone to be with the Lord that he loved, or she's gone to be with the Lord she loved. That should be the desire of our hearts. Oh, dear friends, I pray that these words may have been an encouragement to our hearts. May we be able to say, as that dear lady in our church, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We can't worry about anybody else's. My strength. I trust that He is each of yours this evening for His name's sake. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for Your precious word. Thank You, Lord, for revealing these beautiful things to the Apostle Paul. And as he penned them, Lord, he didn't just pen them to those whom he wrote to in those days, but to those of us today, because he knew that we would need them as well. And Father, we pray that as we read them, as we hear them, as we allow You to speak to our hearts, may we take them in. And oh, dear God, as Your children, I pray that we may live our lives accordingly. Live for Jesus. Shine for Jesus. Looking forward to that blessed hope and glorious appearing of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Your word to our hearts this evening. And be with us now as we separate and go to our respective homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God be with you and bless you for His name's sake. Amen.